Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Now, like it or not, most species on Earth have six legs and are crucial to our survival. So there's never been a more pivotal time to understand their brilliance and appreciate their worth. Here to tell us about his book called Good Bug, welcome to the show, British entomologist and author George McGavin.
Hi, and good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, George. Is that true that most species on Earth have six legs?
Yeah, absolutely. We've described about 1.5 million species of everything on Earth, and the vast majority are insects. And if you include the spiders and crustaceans and all the rest of it, most things on Earth have lots of legs. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've just put your name in to find your website, and there's a picture of you covered in something. Palm oil detectives. Yeah. What are they? Are they bugs? Are they flies? Bees? What are they?
They were honeybees. So honeybees. I was making a program called The Ultimate Swarms. And, of course, when bees swarm, they are pretty docile. So if you cover yourself with the pheromone, the odor of a queen bee, the bees will happily clamber all over you and, you know...
That's an amazing photo. You didn't get stung at all.
No, you don't get stung at all. It's a bit of a thing to do. I mean, no bees were hurt, I might say.
Oh, amazing, amazing picture. Well, it is true. We're learning more and more about the importance of nature. Why are insects so important to us then?
Well, very simply, insects have been around for a lot longer than we have, over 450 million years. They were the first animals on land. They were the first animals to take to the air. And the whole ecology of the Earth, the whole ecology of ecosystems and habitats is predicated on the survival, obviously, of green plants, but of insects. They are the major group of animals who pollinate flowers. They are the major carnivores, the major herbivores, the major decomposers. It's hard to imagine an ecosystem functioning at all without there being insects. And of course, don't forget, most higher animals eat insects. Insects are the food of the world. We simply wouldn't have any birds, reptiles, a few fish, because they're so important. They're such an important, crucial element in the food chain of virtually every terrestrial habitat.
Yeah. And like you say, mentioning the plants, I mean, a lot, I would imagine, of animal pollination with the plants is done by insects.
Yeah, but I mean, there are some plants which are pollinated by bats and other things, but the vast majority is by insects, and the vast majority of the insects that do this incredible service for us are bees. And not just honeybees and bumblebees, there are lots of solitary bees. And it's been estimated that probably one third mouthful of everything we eat is dependent on the pollination services of bees. It's very interesting to note that in some parts of the world where they have removed all the natural habitat, they've killed off all the bees, and they grow fruit trees, the farmers have to pollinate all the flowers of all their fruit trees by hand. And that's something that I hope we don't get to in Europe.
Yeah. So are they under threat then because of us?
Are they, sorry?
Are they under threat because of us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the whole of the natural world is under threat. And there's a very simple reason for it. We are taking so much natural habitat. We are changing into agricultural landscapes, particularly ones where they are intensively farmed with lots of pesticides. So habitat loss, pesticide overuse and misuse, and of course, on top of that, you've got global warming. The last year was the hottest year for many parts of the world, and already this year, it's shaping up to be a bit of a scorcher.
Yeah, I mean, obviously here in Spain, it's very hot and we're coming up to the hottest season. But I have to say, I was in the UK a few weeks ago, and I think this must be to do with global warming. But in one day, we had four seasons. We had it hot, we had it cold, we had it raining, and then a bit of sleet. And it's like, does the atmosphere actually know what's going on? It's quite scary.
Well, these changes, of course, will be unpredictable. Lots of people think global warming is just going to be hotter. Well, it's not necessarily that. Some places will be hotter. Some parts will become unsurvivable. And then you'll get a lot of people who want to move somewhere else, not surprisingly, where they can actually survive. But you'll get freak events. You'll get wildfires. You'll get heavy rain. You'll get flash floods. You'll get all sorts of things that you really didn't expect. It is a disaster that's really been in the making for well over 100 years. It was predicted, in fact, over 100 years ago that we might be facing this sort of issue right about now, and we indeed are. But there has certainly been a decline in the number of flying insects. If I can return to my favourite subject, insects, there are just far fewer insects now than there were when I was a kid. I mean, I've been on the earth for 70 years.
Wow.
And when I was growing up in Scotland, which is not renowned for being a terribly hot place, when we went on a family drive in the summer, the front of the car was absolutely plastered with insects. Now, I can drive in Oxfordshire or Berkshire for the whole summer, and there's not a single solitary insect on the car, you know, windscreen. Of course, when I was born, there were only 2.3 billion humans on Earth. There are now well over 8 billion. So in the time that I've been breathing and studying insects, there has been a massive, almost three times increase in the number of us. We're taking a lot more stuff. We are simply not taking care of the natural world. And I'm afraid to say that until we actually do, until we put the natural world at the heart of everything we do, it's not going to end well.
Yeah, now I hear what you're saying. So what can we do then, George? Our listeners, the normal people out there, what can we do?
What can you do? Well, well, first of all, you can buy my new book,
of course,
The Good Bug.
Of course.
Available in all good bookshops. Well, it's not just us. Of course, individually, there's a lot we can do. We don't need to have gardens. I mean, gardens are actually a very important habitat, and it's one of the things that people immediately think of, gardens. In the UK, there are five times more gardens than in our reserves. So, you know, they are an important habitat. And if your garden looks like, you know, nicely trimmed lawn and a weeded and pesticide and slug pelleted, you know, it's not going to be very good for insect life. You really need to go a little bit wild, you know, have a wild patch. Yeah. Do you need a lawn? Do you really need a stripy lawn? If you're going to play, you know, croquet, fair enough. And then I admit defeat. But, you know, you don't need an artificial lawn. There's a huge trend now for artificial lawns, which I think are one of the most depressing things to ever have hit gardens. They don't last very long. They're very, very hot. They all end up in holes in the ground after a few years. you know, let your lawn go a bit wild. You'll get orchids growing in it. You'll get insects. You should get a lot of interesting things. Leave dead wood lying around. Make your own compost, you know, for goodness, or have a pond. You know, there's a lot we can do, but also where you bank, for instance, surprisingly, there are very few banks that are ethical. So, you know, where your cash goes is important. Do you really know what your hard-end cash is doing? Is it being used in deforestation, deep-sea mining? Is it being used for fracking? Is it being used for other things that you might not wish it to be used for? Seek out an ethical bank. Be careful what you eat. You know, don't buy stuff that's flown halfway around the world, you know, at a huge cost and expense. There are lots of things we can do. One of the best things you could actually do is to eat a lot less meat, a right. lot less meat. We are eating far too much meat. It is a bizarre irony that today so many people are relatively well off, and at the other end of the scale, so many people are abjectly poor. And the ones who have it all seem to be, you know, blissfully unaware of the other half of the world, and are many of them are overweight. So, you know, we really are not being very sensible about the hereafter. We might be more concerned about what's happening now. You know, how rich am I? But when you're the richest man in the world and you're sitting on a bare hillside with no plants and no insects, you know, what have you achieved?
What's the point?
What have you achieved?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. And we, like you say, this was predicted 100 years ago, and it's happening now. It could still happen in our lifetime. Things will get worse, so we do need to be more sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, I was born into the space age, the age of electronics. We've done some amazing things in my lifetime. First hydrogen bomb, of course, polio vaccine, transplant surgery, the internet. We now know about DNA. The first child has been born in vitro. We sent machines into space to image the most incredible things. We've built the Large Hadron Collider that can see the infinitesimally small machines like scopes, the James Webb scope in space that can see image the afterglow of the Big Bang, for goodness sake. But the bit in the middle, the stuff that keeps us alive, the planet, as far as we know, is the only habitable place in the cosmos, and we happen to be on it. We are taking very little heed. And my advice to people is to embrace nature, embrace particularly insects, because they're the ecological oil, if you like. They're what makes the engine of ecology on Earth run in the first place. Look after them. Things will probably be okay.
And they are fascinating insects. Insects are the sort of animals that we don't tend to take much notice of, unless you're George McGavin, of course. but you've only got to look at an ant and the strength an ant has when it's carrying something on its back. You know, they are fascinating creatures.
They absolutely are. I often say that if we ever do find an inhabited or an exoplanet somewhere out there in the darkness of space where life has evolved past a single cell, and I'm sure there are places like this, we just don't know about them yet. But if they have evolved past a single cell, what we find is going to look rather like an insect. I'm absolutely sure that there are insects somewhere out there. I probably won't be alive to see them, but when I die, I want to have a gravestone made of the hardest known material to man. And on it, I want engraved a beetle and the words, "I told you so," underneath.
Very good. I like that. Well, I know you've written numerous books and done many TV appearances. This book, as you quite rightly say, is called The Good Bug, a celebration of insects and what we can do to protect them. Very important. It's by George McGavin for our listeners. And tell us the address of your website as well, George, if people want to find out more.
Well, I have to confess, I don't update my website very often. It's one of my little failings. But you can tweet me if you want.
Yeah.
At George C. McGavin. The website is georgemcgavin.com. co.uk or .com, which shows you how many times I accessed.
I've got it up here. It's actually georgemcgavin.com. I tell you what, I don't think it matters that you update it because there's some amazing pictures on there, beautiful pictures, just nice to look at. Yeah. Great.
Oh, absolutely. And I tell you something, one thing that people will love to practice is my new Japanese form of mushi-yoku. Everyone's heard of srinrin-yoku, forest bathing, where you sit in a nice forest glade and you take in the ambience and the atmosphere. Well, I say do some insect bathing. And that means just walking very slowly, looking for every insect you can find, taking a photograph of it, perhaps if you have the right sort of camera, and you will find you will only cover perhaps 100 meters in half an hour because there should be so much to see. And at the end of it, your heart rate will go down. You will feel engaged with the natural world and you'll feel happier and healthier. Mushi-yoku.
Mushi-yoku. I'm writing it down. Fancy a bit of that.
It's in the book at the end.
Great stuff. It's lovely to chat to you, George. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.